The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
As a child, you walked into every room trying to discern, okay, what's the emotional climate of this room? Is it safe for me to be here? Do I need to find a way out? What state is dad in, you know? And so it developed this ability to read emotion and read body language and read people. And so now as an adult, I can carry that into any room.
Using his personal childhood trauma, Ike Miller helps you turn your difficult past into good baggage. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robison. Tammy Trent is with me. How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm good today.
Well, good.
Today's
nice
a good
know.
Day.
I have friends, you probably have some friends like this too.
Okay.
Who have made mistakes in their past. Mm. And they feel disqualified from, you know, being any type of spiritual influence or leader. And it breaks my heart. I have a yeah. friend that I think is called to ministry, but he's not there because of a divorce.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I
yeah,
hate
yeah.
that for him.
And, you know, the past can haunt us in so many ways. Maybe it's something we did. Maybe it's something that was done to us. Mm. And we have this, what we call baggage. Mm. And we think, I can never do what, you know, I think maybe God's called me to do. Well, yeah. we're going to hopefully change your mind today. Ike Miller is our guest, and he has a book called Good Baggage. And it covers a wide array of past issues and hurts. And we're going to encourage you to say, you know what? God can work all things together for good. Mm-hmm. And if all things in our life are
yes,
good,
yes.
that ain't much of a miracle in that.
So I can have some good baggage? Is that,
you can,
is that what
can,
I hear
yes.
you
what
saying?
What we're saying is God can take the worst and make something good out of it.
Good.
Welcome to Life Today, Ike.
Thank you so much for having me.
So good,
looking forward to this conversation.
Was that a decent setup for you?
It was wonderful. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, with the title, people are always like, what are you talking about?
Sure.
Good baggage yeah. isn't always
right.
bad, you know?
Right.
So it at least piques interest.
Okay.
Yes,
so
for sure.
Now, is this something that is just theory or is this something that you have lived?
It is certainly something I've lived. It's the process of me working through my own baggage, seeing the ways that it was hurting my relationships, and working to heal from that. But in my journey, what I realized is there was a lot out there to help me understand why I was the way I was. But I was beginning to discern that maybe there's some things that my childhood put in me that actually I can use for the good of my relationships. And I didn't see a lot out there about that. And so I was like, well, let me explore this. Let me dig into this a little bit and the ways that this plays out. And so that's when this idea of good baggage came into the picture.
Wow. So tell me about your baggage.
Yeah.
Tell me
yeah.
about all the good and bad stuff. Like the baggage of your life. Like how yeah. did you get to that place of realizing that there's something that I'm doing here that is not right, or there's something broken that I need to fix? How far back do I go to figure that out?
Yeah, so my story, the background of my story is my father had what we would clinically call a alcohol use disorder or alcoholism. And that led to lots of brokenness in my family of origin, ultimately my parents' divorce. And so I saw all of the chaos of that, experienced some abuse in the process. And I joke that when I was in my early 20s, I kind of thought I'd escaped all of it, you know, the effect of all of it.
Yeah.
But when I got married is when I realized, no, I have not escaped it.
Wow.
And especially kind of over the last 5 years where Sharon and I have led a church together and during the pandemic, which is kind of like this vice that just, I think it forced a lot of our junk to the surface, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And realizing that I was carrying a lot that I really needed to work through from my childhood. And in particular, this feeling that I felt to manage how everyone felt about me.
Really?
That was a huge part of it. Was everybody around me happy with me? And as a pastor of a community of people, that's a lot of people to keep happy with you.
Right, yeah. yes.
And ultimately, I reached a point where I was just crushed by the weight of trying to fix everyone's feelings and emotions. And the pandemic, like I said, really brought that to the surface because it was a season where, as a leader, you're making decisions for lots of people. And at the end of the day, somebody's going to be upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found myself crushed by the weight of it.
So through the dysfunction of your childhood, did you find that you became a people pleaser?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you find that you took maybe responsibility for some things that weren't your responsibility?
Yeah, so a major impact of someone who is around an alcoholic in particular, but many different dynamics of dysfunction, is you develop codependency.
Okay.
And codependency, one psychologist describes it as a trauma-related loss of self. And what they mean by that is at some point we went through something where we had to be someone other than ourselves in order to survive, to survive emotionally, mentally, even physically. And what happens in that process, for me with my father always wanting to make sure he was happy with me, who do I need to be to make sure that he's happy with me, that left me with no sense of who am I. I don't know who I am apart from who I am to him. And so then you carry that into every relationship you go in of who do they want me to be? Who do I need to be so that they're happy with me? And because it's a coping mechanism, we don't even realize we're doing it until we feel the negative effect of it.
How can that possibly be positive?
That's a great question. That's a great question. You know, one of the things my wife said to me several years ago is she said, you have this incredible ability to read people. And this incredible ability to read emotion. And she's like, we'll walk into a room together and you'll notice something about somebody. And she's like, I'm completely oblivious to it. And as I began to do my own work in this, what I realized is as a child, you walked into every room trying to discern, okay, what's the emotional climate of this room? Is it safe for me to be here? Do I need to find a way out? What state is dad in, you know? And so it developed this ability to read emotion and read body language and read people. And so now as an adult, I can carry that into any room. And the way that that negatively affects us is we tend to take responsibility for those emotions then.
Yeah.
Right. I need to fix it.
You need to fix it.
But if you can disarm that, it becomes a powerful tool for empathy to be able to walk into a room, for me as a pastor, and to be able to discern, okay, something's off. They're not feeling well today. Let's have a conversation about that. Or walking into the house at, you know, at home at the end of the day and can tell, you know, Sharon's, something's on her mind, something's bothering her. It gives me kind of a superpower to tap into that a little bit.
I'm sorry, you know what's crazy? That is my dad. Grew up in a dysfunctional home, alcoholism, always trying to be something. And he can walk in a room and spot the need. And it has led to ministry opportunities that, I mean, 99% of us would have completely missed because we don't see that. Has it led to ministry opportunities for
it
you?
It certainly has. I mean, even just my passion around counseling in ministry. I love the pastoral counseling side of things. And I think some of it is because I feel this almost immaterial connection with people that allows me to really pastor them through some hard things. And so, certainly.
That's why.
I feel like you're reading me.
we don't do that on this show.
We're in your head. We're in your head.
Tell me what's wrong with me. So how do you sort through, like, all of the baggage, like, discarding the bad and keeping the good? Like, how do you even know at this point, Ike, in your life? Like, you obviously went through this as a kid. You sorted through it. You got married, and all of a sudden, like, you were feeling like something's not right here. Maybe even your wife said, babe, something's not right here. I don't like the way you're responding to this. How did you get to a place, like what tools could you give somebody that's like, I've got baggage and it kind of keeps following me every season of my life. How do I sort through that to get rid of the bad and to let maybe even some of the bad teach me something? Like, how do we figure that out?
So one of the things that might be helpful is understanding that when we talk about baggage, oftentimes what we're talking about is a coping mechanism that we developed in a dysfunctional relationship that we then carry into a relationship that doesn't need that coping mechanism. And so there it begins to wreak havoc because it doesn't fit in the relationship. And so these coping mechanisms that we developed in our childhood, or even maybe not even our childhood, but maybe an unhealthy dating relationship or a broken marriage that we carry into other relationships, they at one point served to protect us, but now we've kind of outgrown their usefulness. And one of the ways that has been most helpful for me in discovering that there's some baggage, but also some work needs to be done, is paying attention to the pain points in my life. Mm. What are the things that, if I look at my life, I recognize patterns where pain creeps up? So to give you an example, one of the things that Sharon and I discovered in our marriage through, you know, lots of great conversations was that I can be very defensive. Okay. At times. Okay. I can struggle with defensiveness. And usually defensiveness does not lead to a good place in terms of, it's not productive for the conversation, right? And so I begin to notice this pattern and I say, okay, what's beneath this defensiveness? And I begin to discover, well, what's beneath the defensiveness is I don't want to be punished for getting something wrong. Mm. I don't want to be to blame. Mm. And you take that back, well, where does that come from, that resistance to punishment? And going back layers, I can discover, you know, as a child, man, punishment was harsh. Mm. And oftentimes it was given to me when I didn't deserve it. Yeah. Yeah. And so now whenever it feels like I'm in trouble, I'm gonna be defensive because I don't wanna take the fall for something that's not mine and be punished for it. And so being able to locate that and then be able to say, okay, I need to disarm that because it's negatively affecting my relationship now. So following our pain helps us to discover what's the baggage that I'm carrying now.
Absolutely. How did you get to that point? Are you, is it healthy? You know, is it healthy for us? Like, if you can't do it on your own, when is it time to, like, I need help? I need counseling in this. I need someone to walk this out with me.
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that because when Sharon and I got married 14 years ago, we decided in our first year of marriage that we were going to get a counselor. Okay. And we did that not because we had big problems, but as we say, because we didn't want big problems. Right?
Good.
And so to some degree, I would say, don't wait until you need it to go get it. Mm-hmm. Mm. Have people who speak wisdom into your life, in your life already, whether that's a counselor or a therapist or a pastor or a mentor, but get those people in your life before you need it so that they're there when you need them.
So there's one thing you talk about in your book that I think is interesting because we tend to not reach out for help or even speak these things that we're struggling with that we don't fully understand, or maybe we do fully understand, because it makes us feel like there's something wrong with me. Mm. I'm abnormal. Mm. I'm the odd person, you know.
Yeah.
Is that common?
It's very common, you know, and that was one of the interesting things when I started sharing about my story was the number of people who said, that's true for me too. And so what I realized is this is much more common than we realize. Mm. And part of that is because our formative years are so significant. And it doesn't mean we had to have a hyper-dysfunctional family of origin in order to be affected by it. The fact of the matter is we are broken humans. We sin against one another, and that includes our children. And so in our best efforts as parents, we can still pass on brokenness. One person shared with me that, you know, they had a sibling who was very sick. And as a result of that, you know, his parents gave a lot of focus on their sick sibling.
Sure.
But what that communicated to him was, it's never okay for me to be not okay. Hmm. Wow. Because they don't have the time and energy.
Yes.
It has to be focused on him. And, you know, those parents, I know, were doing their very best.
Right.
And yet, we can't do this perfectly. And so what I've gone to is, my assumption is we've all got stuff. We've all been through some stuff at some point. And so let's just bring it out in the open. Let's be honest about it, because we're not going to experience healing until we start talking about it with somebody.
Mm-hmm. How do we create healthy relationships if all we've ever been used to is something that's toxic?
Yeah, it takes a lot of introspective work. Mm. It takes a lot of willingness to step back and say, what are the ways that I am creating brokenness in my relationships? Mm. I think.
I like that. What are ways that I'm creating brokenness?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
Because I'm widowed, and a lot of people instantly were saying, you need to be in relationship again, find love again. That's the resolve of your story, to find love again. Mm-hmm. And I have felt, Ike, for many years that there was a lot of brokenness in my life, a lot of things that needed to be healed. And I thought, if I jump into a relationship, all I'm going to do is bring brokenness into this relationship. Yeah. So I think I like when you said that, because I think sometimes we need to step back and look at myself, look at ourselves and say, what is it in me that I need to make sure is fixed? If I want a healthy relationship, I've got to make sure this is fixed. Now, I haven't jumped into some relationships because I'm like, that's not going to be good because I'm not healthy. You know, this is going to be a problem because I've got to fix this first.
Yeah.
So I've waited many years, but tell me more about that. Like, how do we recognize in ourselves, like, you got something to fix?
Yeah.
Because some people also say, I'm so perfect. I'm good. Yeah. I'm gonna contribute so much to this relationship. You're gonna be so blessed.
But right.
How do you know when you've got something that needs to be fixed?
Again, I think it goes back to those pain points. You know, pain is always trying to tell us something. It really is. And so we need to at least take the time to ask, what is it telling me? Sometimes we know very quickly what it's trying to tell us. Sometimes we have to go down a few layers because what's expressing itself on the surface is really the symptom of something.
Is there still healing in the pain? In other words, if I feel this pain long term, is it a sign that I'm not healed? Mm. Or can somebody find healing and still be triggered by those pain points? Because they might think, I'm still feeling this. I'm okay, but I still feel these triggers of pain. So am I not healed? Am I still broken?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a journey. And I think what causes things to come back up again is when maybe we're familiar with a certain dynamic. We're aware of, okay, this is something that brings up pain from the past, but it happens in a new context.
Okay.
And so we know the dynamic, but the context we're not familiar with. And so we find ourselves maybe triggered again by that because we haven't identified, oh, this is what this dynamic looks like in this new context. And so that's why we can never say, okay, I'm being completely healed of this because there's new dynamics, new context that may kind of bring things to the surface again that we need to work through in a new way.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that it's okay to be in relationship with others, even when you have some baggage coming into the relationship, because we need each other to work it out sometimes?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if we all waited till we had no baggage, none of us would be in relationships.
I know, right?
And so it's really
Why
about...
Why were you doing that, Randy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw that out of the corner of your eye.
I'm maybe a little defensive here. I didn't do that.
But very much, it's about the willingness to acknowledge when we have it, not so much being free completely of ever having
it. So good. Okay. Willingness to acknowledge. Like, I have some broken parts.
You can work with that.
Yes, absolutely you can work with that.
Here's the question, because some people, you know, they're watching this and they're going, yeah, but Ike, you don't have any concept of the depth of my trauma and my baggage. And you know, I'm glad it worked for you, but there's not really any hope for me. What do you say to that person?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. The first is, I think for that person, they may even have some religious baggage around this because they maybe were told at some point, well, if you just believe, then Jesus will heal it and get rid of it. Mm. And it's not that Jesus doesn't heal those things, but sometimes it's a much longer, more complex journey than just the instantaneous.
Yeah. Mm.
And so what I communicate to folks when they bring that to me is to say that a part of our healing sometimes is not just so we get to the place of healing, but that our healing journeys are often also a process of learning. There's some things that we can only learn through that process of healing that if we're just healed immediately, we're not going to learn that.
That's true.
And so some of it may be that a part of our journey is the learning that takes place. For others of us, we have experienced incredible trauma. And we as human beings are incredibly complex, that it's not just spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical. You know, we carry trauma in our bodies and our bodies respond to things even though our minds know it's safe, right? And so a lot of times it's much more complex. But what I say to people is that, first of all, it's better to start this journey now than to never start at all. Because even if you never get to the finish line, because none of us ultimately are completely healed, our relationships will be much better off because we started the journey now. The other thing I'll say is within the framework of the Christian faith, we serve a crucified and resurrected Messiah.
Yeah.
Which means if he can bring someone back from the dead, he can bring healing to our trauma. Nothing is beyond hope. And so what I say is our pain is just pain waiting on the promise of healing, and that our pain has its own promises in it. And my encouragement to people is to know that if your story's not over, God's not done. He's still working. He still wants to see healing, and he wants to use that brokenness to see the healing.
Sometimes we think he's too slow, but the reality is he's just very patient with us.
Yes.
Very patient.
So good. Nothing is beyond healing. Man, that's so good. I think of people that we serve in the mission field too, Randy, and that same that same saying applies to them. Nothing is beyond healing. Nothing is beyond hope. Mm-hmm. And we want to bring hope to so many people around the world right now that need it desperately through mission feeding. Take a minute and watch this.
Quero ajuda para informar meus filhos para amanhã.
I'm here really asking for help, especially for my children, so that they can get better education, so that tomorrow they may not be criminals.
My name is Ashton, and I'm a journalist for Life Today. Recently in Angola, I met a precious mother named Madalena. And while it's difficult to convey Madalena's broken heart to those who weren't there that day, we made her a promise that we would do our best.
Passou o mês de agosto, já faz 4 anos. Completou 4 anos esse mês, dia 9.
Before Madalena's husband tragically passed, they had 6 children together, including this sweet girl, Generosa. As Madalena told us their names, we saw a palpable sadness in her eyes when she spoke the name of her youngest child, Julia.
Julia Castelo Branco Muteca.
Just 2 months ago, Madalena had suffered the worst loss a mother could face. Her daughter, Julia, had died as a result of malnutrition. Julia was 4 years old.
Ela já estreita, mas quando ela emagreceu, o hospital só falou comigo já. Ela falava, mana, vamos em casa. Vamos no papá.
Your other children, I know we have one of them sitting just over here. Do they remember Julia?
Ela sempre pergunta, sempre fala tanto da tigela da Julia.
Dear Heavenly Father, I know that you can see Madalena. So I pray for her today, Lord, that you would give them all that they need, more than enough food.
So remember the poor. Remember the widow. Remember Julia. Together, we can make sure that another child just like her won't die, simply because they don't have enough food.
There are many people out there right now saying that same prayer. God, remember me. God, send help. God, are you there? You can be an answer to that prayer. As my parents often say, if you want an answer to your prayers, be an answer to someone else's prayer. Where right now, you have the opportunity to put into action the answer to many mothers' prayers. And we need to get there before it's too late for other children. It is a bit of a race against time, you know. We need to get out there into the field with the food. Continue with the 350,000 children that we feed every day because of viewers like you. And we need to get to the new areas where things happen. Natural disasters, floods, famines, sometimes conflicts, wars. There are many circumstances that lead to hunger. But there is one solution. And I think from our standpoint, as God's people on earth, there is one response, and that is compassion. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. It's all through Scripture. I'm asking you to remember the poor today as we close out the year. It's a time where a lot of you are considering what should I do financially in the giving area. I hope that you will see that this is an opportunity to impact lives directly. So as we close out the year and the week of Mission Feeding, I'm asking you to make the best gift you can. Many of you can feed 100 children for the next 3 months with a $1,000 gift. Some of you can do even more than that. And I would ask that you would consider that prayerfully today. And if God puts it on your heart, you give whatever He puts on your heart, because it's about the giving. It's about the doing. It's the faith with the works that is alive and leads to life. But the breakdown is even a $30 gift today will help feed 3 children for the next 3 months. A $100 gift will feed 10 children for the next 3 months. You see how it works. I think the key though, Tammy, is hearing God's voice. Yeah. It's not formulaic, you know. We try to make it in simple terms so people understand the reach and the power of what we have in place with the feeding, yeah. But it's hear God's voice and obey.
Mm-hmm. Very simple, very simple. And I, you know, even as I'm listening to you, Randy, I'm thinking, I want to be a girl that leads with compassion. Mm-hmm. I want to be a girl that responds to a need. Mm-hmm. I want to always be real to me. And I think that's why I love being here, part of this ministry. I see the giving. I see the hearts of so many of us behind the scenes. It's important to us. We take it very seriously. So our passion is real. Life is real, and so is death. And we see that there is a need, and it is urgent, and we want to do something about it. We bring it before you as well so that you get to come alongside us and feel the blessing that we feel as well. Let's do it together. Let's do it today. Make that difference. Go online, go to your phone, and make a call and give the best gift that you can right now to impact the lives of so many people that need you and that need me and that need Jesus.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the brand new Life Planner. Bound in soft touch leather, this planner will help you with your daily walk with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the God's Promise Serving Bowl. This beautiful and versatile ceramic bowl is decorated with 2 Corinthians 9:8. And will make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the last week, not just of the year, but of this outreach on television. We'll be doing it year-round with your support. But I really hope that you will do the best you can today because it will have such a huge impact. We can do it. We can be the love of Christ. We can feed more and more people. So go to the phone, go online, give the best gift you can. And if you want Ike's book, just request it. We'll send it to you.
Yeah, it's all you got to do. It's that simple. With any gift that you can give today, I want to send you Good Baggage, How Your Difficult Childhood Prepare You for Healthy Relationships by Ike Miller. Ike, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for writing this book. My goodness, thanks for watching today, and we'll see you next time on Life Today. Say church hurt is the worst kind of hurt because it's like getting stabbed in the back while you're looking the person in the eye.
Finding hope and healing through perseverance tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.